Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dernay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Joan D'Amico, president of J. D'Amico Marketing Communications and publisher of the Integrated Marcom Minute. I've been following Joan's blog for quite some time now and getting her newsletters. She's been experimenting with Web 2.0 tools and with some of her clients, and I wanted to dig in and hear a little bit more about some of this. Now, Joan was kind enough to take our Web 2.0 tool survey, available at web20toolsurvey.com, which prompted me to do this podcast. So, Joan, can you tell us a little bit about what your clients are asking you for from a Web 2.0 perspective?
Sure. I think the biggest issue that my clients, and I should clarify, my clients are all B2B, high-tech, industrial, mid to large size businesses. And one of the issues that most of them are going through right now is how can I cut through the clutter? That's one thing. Another important issue is how can I generate more leads? I think that's probably in order of priority, the most important priorities. How can I generate more leads? How can I get a better response from my campaign? And is there a way that I can keep my prospects engaged during the rather lengthy buying cycles, which are anywhere from 4 months up to 12 months, depending on the product or service? So in many of these cases, service marketers, for example, a lot of them have some experts in the field. And for them, I think Web 2.0 tools are ideal, such as blogging or podcasts. It's a great way to share that expertise without making it a constant, you know, sales pitch like a banner ad or even a video ad. It tends to give a little bit more credence than an ad, and it also shares their perspective or their expertise and subject matter expertise.
Right. I mean, one of the nice things that I saw within the Web 2.0 tool survey was that the adoption rate of companies in the smaller end, the small to medium-sized business end, was higher than that in the larger end, and which tells me that it's kind of like the great equalizer, right, the David and Goliath equalizer, because it allows, you know, people to maybe try it out and have an equal voice, and it doesn't matter what size you are, but if you're passionate about an individual topic and you've got content on that topic, you know, you can be as large as you want to be with a tool like a Web 2.0 tool.
After I read the survey, I found the same holds true in my customer base. Hmm. And part of that is because, well, the smaller organizations don't have the layers to go through to get the approvals to do certain things. Blogs, for example, you and I talked about this earlier, that a lot of times blogs require legal approval, and there's a certain liability issue and brand or a public relations external affairs issue that might go along with having a blog. So companies tend to tread more lightly, larger companies tread more lightly or more carefully evaluate that before going to it. Or a smaller company or mid-sized company, they're willing to try that, and they have a little bit more flexibility to do something like that. One of the other things that I noticed also that parallels what your study showed was the adoption rates of podcasts, blogs, podcasts, and online video is the top three Web 2.0 tools. I'm finding that same order of priority in my customer base. But what I also find is that the marketing budgets aren't getting any bigger, and I think many of the smaller companies are more willing to sacrifice a budget, a marketing line item in one area to put that money towards a Web 2.0 or a newer marketing vehicle.
Mm.
I think it's more of a shift in dollars as opposed to just getting more money.
Right, right. So what's the most popular Web 2.0 tool you're getting requests for from your clients? Would it be blogs?
It would be blogs, yes, followed by podcasts.
Mm. Excellent.
But one of the interesting points, I just did some work for a client who was considering going to a major trade show at a major expense, and one of the recommendations that I made to them was that for what you would spend at that trade show, could you not launch an online campaign using some of the Web 2.0 tools like for example, online video. Could you not display your wares in an online video and use maybe perhaps podcasting or some other online email marketing vehicle, some of the more traditional online vehicles, to drive traffic to either a website or a microsite? And it was given some consideration. In the end, they did go to the trade show, and you know, it was successful for them. But there are also ways to take some of the Web 2.0 tools and use them to help boost your response or your visibility at offline or the more conventional marketing methods.
Interesting trade-off, you know, saying, hey, here's an offline thing that you're doing that's really, really expensive. For the same amount of money, you could do a bang-up job on the web with a new Web 2.0 tool. I like that that strategy there.
Right. The scary thought, though, is, and I think in a lot of the mid-sized companies, I find this to be the case, where because the budgets are so sensitive these days, they are afraid to, they can't always justify the ROI. And you and I both know, you can't say one podcast and measure that one podcast and look at your return and say, oh, okay, this is not successful. It has to be integrated within a comprehensive program. So they're reluctant to let go of the known. Like, I know if I go to this trade show, I can expect to get X number of leads, but I don't know if I do a podcast and perhaps an online marketing campaign, I don't know that I can get the same amount of leads, or would I get less leads at a lower cost? You know, you really have to look at all the metrics.
Definitely. And it's hard to say because,
right,
you know, typically they want to try a podcast, which is the wrong way to go about it. Right? I mean, a single podcast isn't going to do anything for you. I mean, you really have to come at it with a strategy of a sustained, you know, push in down the podcasting channel, not just, you know, it's like buying one ad or one billboard, you know, on a roadside.
Right. I think, and that's something that's important that marketers need to understand, especially in B2B. We often look at the latest technology, the buzz. You know, I'm reading your blog. I always, you know, get what the buzz is. But the people that are doing it right have always done marketing right. Mm. They've integrated several different vehicles. They've put together comprehensive programs where the messaging has continuity throughout. And they focused on that, the entirety of the program, as opposed to which vehicle should I use. They look at what's the message, who am I trying to reach, what's the best way to reach them, could I integrate a Web 2.0 type tool into my marketing toolbox and get better results. But the comprehensiveness of the campaign or the program is already in place.
Right. Right.
And I think that's really where it gets important to not just look at the tool, but look at what's the objective and will that tool work.
Right. So from a results perspective, have your clients reported any results such as increased Google juice using Web 2.0 tools? And if so, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
One of the things that I noticed, and I'm not sure you can actually call this a Web 2.0 feature, because, I mean, webinars have been around now for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of my clients are just beginning to dabble in the Web 2.0 space. But I do know of a client who used a webinar in conjunction with some other online marketing vehicles and actually had an increase in leads. And we did the webinar. It was a live webinar, and we promoted it as a live webinar, not something that's pre-recorded that you know, could go to, anybody could get. And I think part of the appeal was that it was live, and it was an industry expert, somebody that had some credence in a particular niche industry. And the leads were about 25% greater than they had from previous, I'll say, more static campaigns.
Right.
So it did give them a boost in leads, but more importantly, the quality of the leads was much better than the quality of a lead that they may have gotten through just a mailer or even some of the trade show leads. So it used the internet and some pre-qualifying questions, it allowed us to pre-qualify the lead, and the quality was just much better.
Right, right. Excellent. And, you know, I know you come at it from a MarCom perspective, So what are you doing from a copywriting perspective that might be unique that we could benefit from?
What I've been saying to all my clients, and I've actually been invited to a client to teach their in-house copywriters how to write for search. I think that probably the mantra that I've been using and probably will continue to use as long as marketing budgets at least 40% of online budgets, I think was the latest statistic, are dedicated towards search.
Mm-hmm. I would believe that.
Think like a search engine. And what I mean by that is search engines are much more specific. Search strings nowadays are much more specific. You know, don't say you make fraud detection software or you have standard operating procedures for fraud detection. Say, you know, prevent fraud in your hotel or restaurant business. Our standard operating procedure manual will show you how. You know, it's much more specific. You have to identify what words people are searching for. So I think really the important thing from a MarCom perspective is everything you do nowadays, it's not just your web pages, but it's also about your offline pieces, your PDF files that you might often place on the Internet, scripts that you might use in podcasting. Make sure you're using words that your clients would be searching or prospects would be searching for you on.
Yeah, that makes good sense, definitely. Well, thanks very much for joining me, Joan. It's been very enlightening.
And, my pleasure, Paul.
And please visit Joan's blog at integratedmarcom, that's one word, .blogspot.com for more information. And also, don't be shy and please take the Web 2.0 Tools survey at web2otoolssurvey.com. And thank you for listening.